Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Tzadi Amud Bet. Mara is continuing to discuss the issue of Tchiyat HaMeitim, the source from the Torah. So it says, Amar Kezar the Rabban Gamliel, Amritu Deshach Vechaye, says that the dead come to life. How Vafra? They're a bunch of dirt. They rot. There's nothing left of them. Vafra Mikachaye? And what? Inanimate objects all of a sudden come to life? So Amrle Brate Shavke Vana Mahadranale. So his daughter says, now here daughter, it's ambiguous here, but Rashi says daughter is the Kezar's daughter. Says to Rabbi Gamliel, I'll take care of the situation here. Shnei Yotzrim, Yesh Birenu. We have two artisans, craftsmen in our city. Achad Yotzer Min Amayim, Achad Yotzer Min Atit. One of them is able to create objects out of water. One of them is able to create objects out of, teat, out of mud. Is it in Mishubach? Which one, of course, which was more exceptional? So Malay is Eshiyot Zermin Amayim. Of course, the one who can create hard substances and create Kelim out of water, certainly that's much more, takes much more Umanut or craftsmanship to do this. So Malay. Minamayim tzar minatit lo kol shekein. So he says, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, now children are born, right? They're born out of, as Rashi says, tipas shrucha, right? A drop of semen that creates, or the individual, so they're created from liquid or water. Hashem's able to create a life. So now here, when you have tit, when you have afar, when you have so much more, it's much more extensive. Of course, a Kadosh Baruch Hu can create man. So it was the answer for him. Debate Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Kavachomer miklei zuchuchit. Right, it's a kav v'chomer from klei zuchuchit. Ma klei zuchuchit shamalam beruach basar v'dam. Right, that glass vessels are made through the blowing of an individual. That's what you call blow. Right, you blow glass in order to form the glass. It's very interesting. Rashi, just I'm making a note here. The Rashi says that v'chein nishman bipi ha'umanim. He says that I asked around, and that's what they tell me. That's how they make glass. So it was just, it's interesting historically what who Rashi was speaking to or what he was thinking. But the idea of blowing glass. Right, nishbru yishlam takana. If the glass breaks, you're still able to fix them. Basar v'dam shbrucho shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Basar v'dam, who is given the spirit of Hashem, right, the blow of Hashem, vayipach b'av nishmat ruach chayim. So al achad kama v'kama. Certainly, if there is a break, it's nishbar. You can put it back together. So amar lehu mina l'Rabbi Ami. Amritu shishach v'chaye. Min said to Rabbi Ami, you say that the dead will come to life. Ba'avu Afra, Afra Gmikachaya, same question. They're dirt, they're the dust of the earth. How can they come to life? So I'm Sholach HaMashal, L'ma'adah Dover Domeh, L'mech V'asabedam Shem Alavadav L'chu Uvnu Li Platrin Gedolim B'makom Shein Mayim V'afar. Go build me a large palace or a large number of buildings in a place that has no water and has no dirt. Has basically missing all raw materials. Ha'chu V'anu Oto. So they went ahead and they built it for him there, even though there were no raw materials over there. The Amim Naflu, all the buildings fell down after a certain amount of time. Go and rebuild it in a place where there is water and there is dirt, meaning where there are raw materials, because then you can build a building that's much better and much more secure. So Amrulo, Einanu Yecholim, says we can't do that. Kasalim, we got anger them. You, in a place where there was no raw materials, you were able to build unbelievable palaces. Here now that you have all the raw materials, everything's available to you, certainly you can build it here. If you don't believe me, say the bika. Go out to the valley, and go see this mouse, this rodent, that today it's half animal and half ground. The machar, he shrieks, v'naseh kulo basar. Tomorrow, if you come back again, it'll be entirely an animal. So the proof he's bringing to him is that the fact that you can see out of a fire, out of the dirt, you can see an animal that's created. And Rashi says, achbar shekori mashkro, v'yesh minam she'in nivra ima yidei toledah. Rashi is clearly indicating here something called spontaneous generation. They're not born through reproduction. This achbar is not born through reproduction, rather it comes out, it's created out of the dirt, out of the earth. So the Gemara is, according to Rashi, the interpretation of the Gemara is that you come there the first day and only half the animal's there. But the second day you come back, the whole animal's there. Because it's been created out of the earth, out of the dirt, which is the concept of spontaneous generation. Then the Gemara continues, Shema Tamar Lizman Ruba. Maybe you'll think that it'll take a large amount of time to do this. I mean, it doesn't happen quickly. How could Hashem come berega and be mechayim meitim? Go up to the mountain and see. Today there is you could read it, chilazon, you could read it as a worm. Rashi reads it as literally the chilazon, that the tolat, shiotzim in a yam, echad the shivim shana, v'tzovim demot chilet. The tolat that comes out of the ocean once in 70 years, and they use its blood for the chilet. Right? Machar yerduga shamim, tomorrow there'll be a lot of rain. But if malay kulo, chilazonot, the whole mountain will be covered in these chilazonot. It seems to me that, that it would be more likely to be worms. If the chilazon is so rare, it rains, and all of a sudden you have all these chilazon on the mountain. And Rashi makes over here the machash shemim yardim it malei kulo chilazonot. Minir the moish beitzei right the chilazon mashritzin kulan that they all hatch. All these eggs hatch. Ama yesh b'dol the chayot ufisha. In a moment, all of them could hatch, and all these worms are there. So here you could have read the Gemara as being spontaneous generation again, right? That the worms come out of the earth, then it rains, and all of a sudden all these worms come out of the ground. Rashi here, from his Rebbe, talks about Beitzim, talks about that they're hatched somehow, that the worms are hatched, which is interesting, versus the previous where he says spontaneous generation. Take a sidebar, a quick side note here, just because it's a major controversy right now, is about the Anisotachus, which is a worm that's found inside of a fish today. This Anisotachus is a worm that crawls into the fish. And the question is whether fish are kosher anymore because of this worm. It's a new issue that's being raised now. Rav Eliyoshiv just came out and the big hatzara that it's a big problem with fish and you can't eat the fish. The controversy really revolves around this issue. It's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says that something is only considered a sheretz dama if it actually crawls on the ground. And suppose, for instance, if there are certain animals that if they're inside the fruit, they're bugs or worms that are inside the fruit, then, or inside the vegetables, if they never see the light of day, if they never crawl out, then they are considered to be a part of the fruit, and they're kosher, you can eat them, there's no issue whatsoever, because those are not shotzim, sheretz al pnei adama. So the Gemara continues there, and that Gemara in Chulin, in Tafsam Chasamayit Amud Bet, it says, either Amrav Shisha, Bered Ravidi, Kokani Shoru, that Kokani are allowed to be eaten. Kokani, Rashi claims, are tolaim, shebekavedu, shebereya. These are worms that are inside of the lungs, and inside of the liver. Again, this probably relates to a understanding that the respiratory and the circulatory systems were connected. And therefore, the Gemara believes if an animal inhales some sort of worm and climbs through his nose, that it can end up in the rest of his body through the circulatory system, can end up in other places. All right, that's Rashi's interpretation. Rabbi Natan disagrees. He says we're talking about fish over here. And the fish somehow, you know, it went through its nose, but we won't call it its nose. Say it ingested whatever these worms are. So then the Gemara concludes about that. They are asur. My taima, right? Minam naim. They crawl into the animal, either through the nose or they're ingested by the animal. But what was the havamina to be matir them? The Gemara says, mine gavle. They grow from inside the animal. They grow in the animal. Again, the same idea, as connected is that spontaneous generation. That these aren't animals that come from outside, but rather they're animals that grow inside of the fish itself or inside of the meat itself, inside of the animal. That they are not reproductive animals, but rather animals that appear in these fish or in these behemoth. Then the Gemara makes another statement, which is that darnei de basra asire de kavrei sharian. Darnei, these worms of meat are asur, of fish are mutar. So what is a darnei? Rashi says tolim and imseim ben or the basar. Worms that are found between the skin and the flesh. When you skin the animal, when you find those worms there, those are these darna. In meat, it's asur. In fish, it's mutar. I'm going to ask why. I says, because by a behemah, the only reason you can eat a behemah is you have shchita. Requires shchita be matir the behemah. So anything that is a part of the behemah, in order to be matir it, it needs shchita. Problem is that you did shchita for the behemah, but you didn't do shchita for these worms that are there, because they're not nitara, they shchita. As opposed to an ubar or something that's attached to the mother, there it is, nitar ayide shchita. On the other hand, by fish, what's the heter of fish? Asifa, just taken out of the water. So same way that the fish is nitar ayide asifa, the worms that are inside the fish will also be nitar ayide asifa. That's the Gemara. Now the Gemara has two distinctions that are important. One distinction is, it matters whether the worm is ingested versus whether it grows up inside the animal itself. The second distinction is that there's a difference between meat and fish. So now the Rishonim deal with it, the Rashba, there's an important Rashba over here, that discusses the fact whether this applies while they're alive or even after they're dead. So there was the Bala Trumot says that all of this is talking about when the animal's alive. But after the animal's dead, even by meat, all the worms are kosher. Why? Because they grow from the meat itself. maggots, right? It's the original idea of spontaneous generation, that maggots didn't come until they did the test where they covered the meat and they showed that there were no maggots when you covered the meat. Everybody thought that they are produced out of the meat itself. So after death, and he talks about worms that come out from meat, worms that come out of cheese. All of these items are kasherim, and so much so that I think the Mordechai and the Rosh quote that they used to eat cheese with worms that were jumping around on the cheese. They used to eat it because they all came out of the cheese, and there's no problem with these worms because they are not sharetz ala aretz. Right? This is the Gemara and the Rishonim on this sugya. I'm summarizing. I'll send you this to all the Mekorot. You can take a look at them. So now we have today this aniskakis, which is actually a parasite. It's a parasite that is trying to get inside of dolphins and whales and larger fish. The way it does is it implants itself in a smaller fish, and then when the bigger fish eat them, that's how it gets inside. That's its back door, its Trojan horse to get into the larger fish. So now, these aniskagas, when you go in and you look, the aniskagas are found inside the stomach, inside the intestines of the fish. And we said already over here that according to some of the Rishonim, when it's found in the intestines, when they ingest it, it's clear that that's problematic. So that's where it's found. But the answer is, what it ends up doing is it actually is then found in the flesh of the fish as well, because we don't eat the innards of the fish, we end up eating the flesh. So what the answer is, it's found in the flesh of the fish, how is it there, and how does it get there? That's the question. Because of that, that will determine whether it's going to be kosher. So then, based on some of the tests now, there's like Rav Yoshev and the Machon Alacha Mitzvot HaTuliot V'aretz, also they did some tests. They say that the anastachus goes in, embeds itself in the intestines of the fish, and then after the fish dies, the worm makes its way from the intestines into the flesh of the fish. That's how it implants itself, and then it grows inside the flesh of the fish. That means it died a larger fish, and that's how it gets, inside of the fish. But over here. So their claim is that there are ways to clean a fish. When you take out the intestines of fish, you can either take out the entire intestines, which is doing what's called a round cut, and pull it all out. The other way to do it is a straight cut, which is you cut it out and then you scoop out the intestines. That's most today. It takes much more umanut to take out through the round cut. So almost everybody does the straight cut. When they do the straight cut, they never clean it out entirely. So their claim is, what's happening is after the fish is dead, they're not cleaning out the intestines properly, and these worms are moving into the fish after the death, meaning that they're really found in the intestines and they're moving across, so into the flesh. So they're really from the outside, and therefore they are worms that are nishrats. The worms that are nishrats, they are problematic. Right? The Rebelsky from New U spoke about it, and he says, wait a minute, this parasite, that's the way it works all the time. He says, what, this is a new metzius? I mean, what, 2,000 years ago they didn't have in time the Gemara? How could it be that it's not the case? Why is it? These parasites exist. They existed for many years. To say Nishanu Ateva is a very difficult thing to say. And then beyond that, the Shulchan Aruch makes no distinction. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, well, if there are these worms that come from the stomach and the parasites came in the stomach beforehand, they didn't come. He makes no distinction like that. Just says across the board, they're all mutarim, these worms that are found in the flesh. Ben Or LeBasar says everything's fine. Doesn't ask where it came from. Doesn't know how it got there. Just says they're all fine. So based on the Rebelsky says, well, how does this parasite work? The parasite works that anytime. Forget about after death, but even beforehand, they implant themselves in the intestines and they move to the Or LeBasar. So why are they kasherim? Right, we know there's no spontaneous generation. So why is the Gemara right over here? If there's no spontaneous generation, they should be wrong. So Rebelsky claims that the way to understand the Gemara is that these parasites enter the fish and they're microscopic when they enter the fish. Then they implant themselves in the fish and they move as cysts into the flesh of the fish. Then they grow up inside the fish. So in Ochanami, there's no spontaneous generation, but their entire life beyond the microscopic level is inside the fish and grows up inside the fish. And based on that, they would be mutarim, because that's how they get into the fish. That's how they exist. That's how they live and their whole entire life. That's what the Gemara calls mine gavle. They grow up inside the fish. So this, the controversy today, it seems to revolve around two issues. One is the actual mitziut. How do the worms get in there? Do they implant themselves there even before the fish dies? And that's their whole life cycle. The part of their life cycle is that they move from the intestines and they would do that even before it dies. Or is this all happening after the death of the fish? Which means that they are worms that are full worms before the fish dies and they're moving or sliding themselves across through the intestines into the basar of the fish. That's one. And the second question is, even if they do that, how do we view this? We know they come from the outside. We know there's no such thing as spontaneous generation anymore. So what do you do about these items that are growing up, these worms that definitely came from the outside because they're parasitic, they enter the fish, and then they move to its skin? Do we consider them to be, okay, mine gavle, because they are microscopic when they enter and then they grow up inside the fish? Or do you say that the Gemara talks about spontaneous generation, which it's just wrong? You see that from the halacha, the Rambam writes about meats that are rotting, that all of a sudden these bugs come out of them, you know, and they're not prey or avey, they just grow up inside the meat. I mean, again, they're talking about maggots, they're talking about spontaneous generation. So is the halacha just mistakenly premised on spontaneous generation, it doesn't exist, and we have to just say no? Or is it that the microscopic entry of these animals is considered to be as if they grew up in these items, and they're not considered to be sharetz, hasharetz, hasharetz, al haaretz? Anyway, it's a major controversy. I'll send you all the mikorot and some of the hatzarot that went out, but very interesting, and relates to this gemara over here, which talks about the idea of spontaneous generation. All right, so now, gemara continues. Amalei Aumina, the Gvia ben Psisa. So this means said to Gvia ben Psisa, his name is Gvia ben Psisa because he was a hunchback, right? You are culpable. It's what you're doing. You're awful because you say that the dead will come to life. The chayin meite. Okay, the fact that the people are alive that die, that's fine. The meite chayin. So what do you mean that dead people come to life? How could that be? So he's responding back. I'm like, vaylachon chayava. You guys are, you know, going to be taken to task. Damritin meite no chayin, because you say that the dead will never come to light. Delo havu chaye. Suddenly it does not exist at all, comes to life. Meaning a baby, a fetus. Right? That comes from nothing. Tipas shvucha, and then it comes to life. Dava chaye lo koshke. Someone who's already alive, to bring them back to life is much less of a miracle. So why not? Samalei chayava karidli. So the Mina says back to him, you called me that we're going to be taken to death, that I'm a chayav. Aikamina. If I wanted to, I would give you a nice kick, and I would straighten out your hunchback here. Give you a swift kick and straighten out. So Gvia ben Psisa responds to him, if you do that, you'll be a great doctor. You'll get paid nicely. And there'll be the first chiropractor, physical therapist, you straighten out the back, it'll be great. You get paid a lot of money because you can straighten out my hunchback. So Tan Rabbanan, Besrim Barban Nisan, Itdilu, Dimunusai, and Miudam Yerushalayim. So on the 24th of Nisan, the Dimunusai, which are people who cause problems for the Jews, they were people either were tattling on them to the Machut or whatever, they were Orim, Balei Hamas, they were strong men, they were removed from Yehuda and Yerushalayim. So wherever these people that caused problems for the Jews, that happened on the 24th. The Nisan is found in Megillat Tanit, all the days that they had, especially Yamim Tovim, because of that which happened. So here's another Yom Tov, because they were victorious, or because they were removed from Yudun Shalayim. So Rashi claims that the next case is the case of this. It doesn't necessarily have to be connected, but Rashi claims that the next case is an example of this. Kshubau b'nei Afrika, Adonim Yisrael, the people of Africa came to Israel, Lifnei, Alexandru Smokdon, before Alexander the Macedonian, who is Alexander the Great. Right? Amro lo Eretz Kanan Shalanui. They say Eretz Kanan belongs to us. Dichtiv, Eretz Kanan l'gvulata. Right, it says Eretz Kanan to it in its borders. Uchnan avuan dahanu inche avu. Wait, Kanan is our father, not your father. If it's called Eretz Kanan, it's because it belongs to Kanan, and we can show you our yichus. We descend directly from Kanan, right? But you're not from Kanan. You guys are from Shem. Right, it's Amalo Gvia ben Psisa lechachamim. So Gvia ben Psisa says, "Rachamim, snuli reshut veilech laduni mehem." Give me permission to go and adjudicate before, be our representative in front of Alexander the Great. Fnei Alexandru smokdon. Imnyan tzchuni, if they win for me, I'm ruei jod shibanu nitzachtem. They'd say, we send one of our lay, that's one of our lay people, we'll send the experts in now. But if I win, I'm ruei torat Moshe nitzachtem. They'll say that the Torah of Moshe was the winner here, and that was what caused led us to victory, was the Torah of Moshe. I mean, I know the logic is a little flawed because, you know, Alexander the Great will say, why'd you send your B team? If you really were to come here, you send the A team the first time. But, all right, be it as it may. Not the little shoot. They said, okay, go. Where are you bringing your proof from? Bring it from the Torah. I will also bring you a proof from the Torah. Shenemar. It says about Kanan, he was cursed by Noach and said that he'll be a servant to his brothers. Eved Shekanan Nechasim. Right, when an Eved goes ahead and gets possessions, Eved to me, or Nechasim to me. Who does this servant belong to? And who does the possessions of the servant belong to? Mashekan Eved, Konarabo. Right? And on beyond that, you guys owe us money. You know why? Because you're supposed to be avadim to us. If you're avadim to us, you guys have been walking around like free men for a long time. You owe us some money over here. So Amalayim Alexandros Malka, Hevzir lo tshuva? Give him an answer. Amrulo tshuvan azman shloshe yamim. Give us 3 days, and we'll think of something. Natan lehem zman, they did, but kuv lo matzu tshuva. They had no answer. Miyad barchu, they ran away, ve'inichu sedoteyem kshin zruot. They left all their fields fully planted, ve'kamihem kshin nituot, and their vineyards that were ready to go. Ve'otashana shvi'it haita. And that year was a Shvi'it year, so it was a big hatzalah for the people because they didn't have any food. Now you can see from here, by the way, and in the Tosefta, a similar idea. It talks there about a battle victory where they had the same type of thing. That on Shvi'it, they suffered greatly, that they did it mitoch mitzukah and mesirat nefesh. Over here, that they kept Shvi'it, especially after they asered Tzvichim. They had nothing to eat in Shvi'it. You can see they were desperate, and that this type of hatzalah, where they find fields that are planted and vineyards that are planted, is an amazing, you know, it was like a neis min hashamayim. They viewed that as a neis min hashamayim, that they were actually able to have produce on the year of the Shvi'it. So, shuv pam achad ba'u b'nei Mitzrayim ladunim Yisrael, b'nei Alexandros Mokton. So, the Mitzrayim, or pam achad, the Gua eliminates. So, shuv ba'u b'nei Mitzrayim ladunim Yisrael, the Egyptians came before Alexandria or Macedonian. Amarlo, Ari Omer, it says, v'asham Hashem natan etchena am b'nei Mitzrayim v'ayishilum. Hashem gives the grace of the people in the eyes of Mitzrayim, and they end up borrowing all this material from the Mitzrayim, right? And they didn't return it. You borrowed all that stuff. Time to turn it back in. We want it back now. Give me permission to go and be our representative. If they win, just say that I was the B team, I was the layperson, we'll send the A team now. If I win, we'll say that the Torah of Moshe is what caused us the victory here. What do you bring a proof for? I will also only bring you a proof from the Torah. Israel were there for 430 years as slaves. This is going to be a big bill. 600,000 people times 430 years. We're still waiting for our compensation. We're still waiting to get paid. So Alexander's Mokton, Alexander Macedonian says, Axiolo Chuva, reply to him, Amalo Tulanos Vanshloshayamim, give us 3 days. Matan Lem Zmani gave them the time, but Kuvulo Matsu Chuva, they had no answer to this. Meyade Nichusidotem Shinzuot, the Kamehem Kishinituot, fields planted, the vineyards ready to go, Barchu, and they ran away. But Ashana Shvi'it Haita, it was also a Shvi'it year again. This idea that it was a miraculous for the people to have produce in the year of the Shvi'it.
There was once one big story, or
right, it's great that Pashuv Pamachad makes a difference. When the Girsa, if you say Pamachad, which means another, it seems to be a different story as opposed to the Groz Girsa, which is at Shuv, which is on the same day or same period of time that it all happened around the same time. Vishuv Pamachad, Bo B'nei Ishmael, B'nei Keturah, L'Dunim Yisrael. B'nei Ishmael came to Yisrael, and Alexandros Mokton, they came before the Alexander the Great. Amlo, Eretz, Kanaan, Shalanu, V'shelechem. So at least there today they have a different claim. It's all ours. There at least they said it's yours and ours. We have to share it. All right, we have to share Eretz Yisrael. Dechtiv Eile Todot Ishmael ben Avraham. Okay, Ishmael ben Avraham. We're the descendants of Ishmael. And if Avraham got promised the land, then you know Ishmael and Yitzchak, we're partners over here. So Dechtiv Eile Todot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Amar lahem Gvia ben Psisa Lachamim Tuli Rishut Velech Vadonim Em Lifnei Alexandros Mokton. Give me permission to go and bring our case before Alexander the Great. If they win, just say that this was a layperson. The Torah of Moshe is what gave us the victory here, and that's what is Emet, Torah Emet. Where are you bringing your proof from? I'm from the Torah. You're from the Torah? I'll bring you from the Torah. Shnemar. Avram gives everything that he owns to Yitzchak. He gave them all gifts. So Bnei Pilakshim are both Ishmael and Keturah, were born both born to Pilakshim. Whether they were both the same person, whether Keturah and Hagar are the same person, whether they're two different people, they're both still Pilakshim. Right? If it's a Pilagish, then Avram gave them matanot. Av shnatan agatin levana b'chayav v'shiger zeh me'al zeh klum yesh lezeh al zeh klum. So a father who gives a getin, very probably from the source of the word is get over here, Rashi says that a getin is k'davim, he basically distributes his properties before his death, and he gives each one a document saying that this belongs to you and nobody else has rights to it. So that type of division that happens, does anybody have a claim? There are no residual claims, it's done. The father divides up the property, it's done. So that here they had no response. We don't have the remainder of a story where they give them time. Sounds like this time they had no response, and the case was over right then. All right, my matanot. What are matanot? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu Baba Amalech Masalahem Shem Tumah. Says he gave them the shame of Tumah, which is Rashi says Kishuf Umaseh Shedim. Taught them the sorcery and the Maseh Shedim. So Amalei Antoninus the Rabbi. So now we have a new series of stories here, and these are between Antoninus and Rabbi. Antoninus was the Roman governor or ruler over Judah at the time, had very good relationship and relations with Rabbi, and the Gemara tells stories of such that they had very good relationship at the time, and you see here that they are talking in philosophy, and that Antoninus is well versed in Jewish philosophy and the Torah, and he and Rebbe are discussing issues, and you'll see that Rebbe even agrees in a number of places, agrees to his position of Antoninus, and says Antoninus is right in this situation. So Amar Lei Antoninus the Rabbi, Guf u'Neshama yucholim liftor atzman min adin. Says if you take the Guf, the body, and the Neshama, right, the spirit from Hashem, they could say themselves, they could absolve themselves of any din. Why? Ketzad Guf omer Neshama chatat. I'd say the goof, the body says, listen, the Shema is what caused the chait. Why? Pishriyom shepirshami many already mutal kevin domain, bekever. Said, listen, until, while I had the Neshama in me, I was going around doing all this bad stuff. As soon as the Neshama left, I'm dead as a doornail in the grave. I don't move anymore. So it's clear that it wasn't me doing all this, it was the Neshama doing it. Neshama omeret, what does the Neshama say? Guf chata. Why? Shemiyom shepirashki mimenu areni porachat ba'avir kitzipor. Since I left the body, I'm flying around free. I'm a free bird. I don't do this anymore. As long as I'm not stuck inside the body that it happened. So I'm shcholach ha-mashal. So Rebbe responds to him, I have a mashal for you. It's beautiful orchard. Or maybe pardes. Rashi in Baba Vachi translates pardes many times as a vineyard. Right? Vayabo bichurot. Right, he has bichurot na'ot. Rashi says here, bichurot na'ot are te'enei b'churot. Are these beautiful figs, early figs, these ripe, wonderful figs. Oshibo shnei shomrim, he put in guards to make sure that nobody took any of these figs. Echad chiger, one of them was lame, unable to walk. Echad suma, one of them was blind. Samalo chiger the suma, bichurot na'ot, ani ro'eh. So the chiger says to the suma who can't see, listen, I see these beautiful fruits out there, Repardes. Ba'vir kivani. Ba'vir kivani, you take me and put me on your shoulders. V'nevi'eim lochlam, and then we'll take them down and eat them. So achav chiger al gabi suma. Chiger rode on the shoulders of the suma. V'nevi'eim v'achlom, they brought him down, they shared in the bounty that they had gotten. L'yamim ba, bala pardes. All of a sudden, the Baal Pradesh shows up. Where are all these great fruits that I saw in the trees? They're all gone now. Where are they? What are you asking me for? I can't walk around. I've been sitting here since the day you left me. I can't move. I can't get to the fruit. So I can't see anything here. What are you asking me about? I couldn't even see that there were fruits on the tree. So what does he do? Hirkiv chiger al gabi suma. It says, all right, great. You know what? You, Chiger, on top of the Suma, but Danu Tam Ke'achad, and he judges them in one shot. It's true. Independently, I can't judge you. I put you together, I can judge you. Avakar Shboch, Mein Neshama, Zorkaba Guf. Takes the Neshama, throws it into the Guf, but Danu Tam Ke'achad. Says, yes, you're right. Each one independently has an excuse. So what does he do? He puts them together and says, we're going to dan you in a joint fashion. Shinemar, because it says, Ikra El Hashamayim Meim Al, you'll call out to the heavens above. Vela Aretz, and said down below, Ladin Amo. So now, really, the Pashup Shad on the puzzle, Ladin Amo, is to avenge his nation. Right? It's to avenge his nation, but here the Gemara is playing on the word Ladin is for the judgment. Din Amo means for the judgment, they're going to face the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does he do? So that's what it says. He cries, Lashamay Me'al Zunishama. Calls from that above, which is Nishama. Vela Aretz, Ladin Amo. So from the Aretz, he calls for the din, is their goof. So Hashem brings them together to do the din. He doesn't let them go separately. He brings them back together in order to have a din. All right, next situation of Antinunus. Why does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? Says that even if it was the other way around, you would ask me the same question. If it rose in the west and set in the east, you would have the exact same question. So what type of question is this? So that's not a fair question. This is the question. Okay, it rises in the east. Why isn't it set in the east as well? Why does it have to go to the west to set? So he says, in order to bow down to its owner, meaning, or to its creator, which is a Kodesh Baruch. Why? Where's the Shekhinah found? Shekhinah is found in the Ma'arav, in the west. So it goes towards the west to, you know, bow down and to give kavod to a Kodesh Baruch. So that's why it goes to the west. Shenemar, Utzva Shemaim, Lechamish Tachavim, that the constellations of the sky bow down to you. So let the sun go until the middle of the sky. He'll bow down, right? Accord kavod and to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it'll go straight up. And the sun would set in the middle of the sky. It would just go up and be done. The sun would say, why does it have to go all the way to the west to set? I mean that even in terms of etiquette, when you bow down to a king, you don't go all the way up to the king and bow down. You bow from a distance. Right, and to show your respect. So also over here, the sun should bow from a distance and then disappear. It should set right on the spot. So he says, Mishum Poalim Mishum Ovrei Derachim, because of the workers and the travelers. Because if the sun just set in the middle of the sky, nobody would know when the day was ending. There would be no indication that the day was ending. But the sun actually setting and going to the west, that shows them or tells them to get ready, to prepare, because the sun setting and the day is ending. So the reason for it not to set in the middle of the sky is so that there is some sort of right sense of time of the day. Now, why can't they go back to the eastern side? That's because of this kavod, that it's according to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it sets in the west. We actually saw, in Bava Metzia, we discussed this as a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfot about the west, and what is considered where the Shekhinah is, and Mol HaShekhinah, which said, do you bow from the west to the side that's near, or do you bow from the east, where you're opposite the western side? There, Rashi discussed, the Tosfos brings down two Pshatim over there. So it's interesting over here, one of their proofs is from here, that the sun goes to the west to bow down in the west side, next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei Antininus Rabbi, Neshama Meimatai Nitna Ba'adam. When does Neshama enter the person? Mishat Pkida, O Mishat Yitzira. From the time of conception, or from the time that the body is formed, and the time that the fetus is taken on the form of some sort of human. So Amalei, so Rebbe responds, "Mishat Yitzirah," when it becomes a human being. So Amalei, continuous response: "Eshar chaticha shel basar omedet shlosha yamim below melach ve'eno misrachet." Meat can't last for more than 3 days without salting it, meaning that they had no refrigeration. So any meat that was taken out, it would rot it right away unless it was salted. That's the only way it could survive. So now here too, what's the suggestion of Antoninus is, if you say that the neshama is what's called the preservative, that's what keeps the body. Why? Because as soon as the person passes away, the neshama leaves and the body decomposes. So you see, it's the neshama that stops the body from decomposing. So if that's the case, and you say, Rebbe, that the body only receives the neshama at the point that it's already formed into a fetus and has like a human type of form inside the mother, then between the time of conception to the time the fetus is formed, how does it stay without decomposing? How does it not rot in that period of time? Because you have the tipas rucha, as the Gemara calls it, you have the semen that goes in, and that rots also, that goes bad. If it doesn't impregnate, if it doesn't fertilize the egg, then it also rots. So you say here, you come from something that's going to rot. How could it be that it lasts for that amount of time without the neshama in it? Ela mishat pkida, I disagree with you. Antoninus says, I disagree, it has to be from shat pkida. Amar Rebbe, dabar zeh limdeni Antoninus. This Antoninus taught me. He's right. He taught me this. Umikra misayo, and the pasuk supports his position. Shinemar, it says ufikudat cha shamra ruchi. Right. So if it says ufikudat cha shamra ruchi, that my spirit right kept your ufikudat cha would be either. I mean, it could be command, right? Your tzivui. But over here, the Gemara is saying ufikudat cha, that the conception, the mishat pkida shamra ruchi, was my ruach was preserved it. What's the ruach? Is the neshama. So neshama preserved the conception. So that's because the neshama comes in at that point. That's what keeps it from rotting from that point forward. All right. Amar lo Antoninu is the rabbi. Let me tell you, it's a rashalit v'adam. When does the yitzara come into a person? When does it start having rule over the individual? Mishat yitzira, o mishat yitzia. So you can see here, mishat yitzia is the birth of the child. Yetzira is that stage where it reaches like a fetus, a formed fetus. And then we have Pekida, which is conception. And Rashi says even before conception. Pekida is the time where Hashem decides what, you know, 40 days before before the Vlad is conceived, you know, Ploni Laploni, he'll be Ashir and Ani, all those items that are decided. That's when Rashi claims it is. All right, but we can say here, we have conception, forming of the fetus, and then birth. So we said before that the neshama must come in at the time of conception. Now the question is the Yetzara. Does it come in from the time of the forming of the fetus or the time that it's born? So Rebbe says, Amalei Mishat Yetzira. From the time that it turns into a fetus, already there's the Yetzara. Amalei came Bo'et Bimei Movi Yotzei. Said, no way. And Dino says, it can't be. Because if the Yetzara was already in the baby from that point, it would kick its way out of his mother. I mean, that the Yetzara would make it, that evil inside of the Yetzara would drive the baby to kick itself out of the mother. Ela Mishat Yitziyah, it has to be from the time it's born. And the Yetzara only enters at the birth of the baby. So Rebbe, Dabrazed Limdeni Antoninus, Antoninus taught me this item. Umikra Misayo, I have a pasuk that supports it. Shenemar, the Petach Chatat Rovetz. Right, so what does it mean? That it's crouching at the doorway. Chatat is crouching at the doorway. I mean, that's what the mashal or what the dimyon is, that when the baby is yotzeh, the petach, when it comes out into the world, that's when chatat rovets. That's when the sin is awaiting a crouching. So the yetzerah enters at the moment that it leaves the, right, leaves the womb, leaves the woman. Rish Lakish Rami. Shlakish says that we have a stiram psukim. Now, we're going to have a series here of psukim that are talking about latid lavo. Many of them are from Yishayahu, some of them from Yirmiyahu, about what's going to happen in the future. They are stirot about what's going to happen in the future. So the Gemara wants to reconcile, or these Amoraim are going to try to reconcile between these different psukim. So you first have Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, it says in the pasuk in Yishayahu, Bam iveru pseach harav yoledet yachdav. So amongst those people who are going to be coming back to Eretz Yisrael that are going to be redeemed here, there's going to be an Iver, the blind, the Pseach, and those that were lame, Harab, Yoledet, the those that are pregnant, those that have been given birth, that are nursing, all of them together, Uchtiv. And then it says also, right, the first pasuk, I'm sorry, is from Yirmiyahu. The second pasuk is from Yishayahu. And there it says, Az Yidaleg, Ka'alayahu, Pseach, Vitaron, right, Lushoni Lame, can you maybe barava? So there we have from Pasuk here, we're quoting from Yirmiyahu, is from the Haftorah that we read on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Haftorah of, now we know, is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What's the Haftorah about? Kramar Hashem, right? Kramar Hashem about Rachel Imenu. So this is the Pasuk found in that Perek. About that everybody will gather together. Iver pseach harav yoledet. Then we have a pasuk in Yishayahu says, "Azi delei kayal pseach," that the pseach will be jumping and running like the ayal, right, like the deer. V'taron l'shoni leim, and there'll be song bursting forth from the one who was mute until this point. Kiniv kuba mebar mayim, the deserts will become full of water. V'nachalim barava, and there will be waters and rivers and places that were dry. So how could it be? Are they going to be Ivrim and Pesachim at the time of Mashiach or not? So he says, HaKetzad, Omdim b'muman u'mitrapin. The answer is that they will be brought back to Chiyat HaMitim, they will be brought back with their mum, and then after they're brought back with their mum, then they will be cured of the mum. So they will be brought back to life with their mum, and then cured. So Ula Ramiktiv, it says, and this is a pasuk that could be familiar to you because this is a pasuk that many say at funerals. They say this at the Spedim, say at the funerals. Bilo hamovet lanetzach umacha Hashem, it's missing here, Hashem Elokim, dim'a mi'al kol panim, that Hashem will wipe out death forever, and Hashem will wipe away all tears from the faces, uchtiv. Now it says also, pasuk in Yishayahu, ki'anar be'me'a shana yamut, a young child will die at 120. Lo yemisham od ul yamim. There won't be anybody whose life is shortened. There won't be any more elder people whose lives are shortened. Everybody's going to live until 120, and they'll still be considered young at 120. So, but it sounds like you're going to die. In one place, it says, netzach, the death will be swallowed up. And over here it says they're going to die. Lo kasha kan be Yisrael, kan be ovdei kochavim. That's Yisrael, and Ovdei Kochavim is different. By Yisrael, there won't be any death. Ovdei Kochavim will live until 120. But Ovdechem, my Ba'u Atom. What are the Ovdei Kochavim doing there? With them at Tchiyat HaMeitim, Zman HaMashiach, what are they doing there? Zanach Techibu, because there will be some. Ve'amdu Zarim, Ve'ra'u Tzonchem, because you'll have these foreigners who come and take care of your flocks, U'b'nei Nechari Karehem, Rechem, and then there will be these the strangers will be, Ikar here will be farmers, but the literal translation should be your plowmen, v'kormechem, those that take care of your vineyards. I mean, they'll be your workers that take care of you in this man of Tchilat HaMetim. You'll have them to, they'll be your workers, they'll take care of all the stuff for you. So they'll be around. They won't be because they deserve to be around because of Tchilat HaMetim, but they'll be there to service you. So that'll be the difference. So those that are servicing you will live to 120, and you who are being serviced will live Bilam Ovet LeNetzach.
What's Zarim? What is Zarim?
Outsiders, strangers. I think you could just answer that Zarim here doesn't mean of the Avodah Zarah. I mean, Zarim means foreigners, right? Goyim, those are outside of Bnei Yisrael. Zar is not a term that's used by of the Avodah Zarah necessarily. It just means someone outside of the realm. All right. Now, the Gemara says, Rav Chisda Rami Ktiv, it says, V'chafra levana uvosha chama, that the moon will be humiliated, and the sun will be shamed, ki malach Hashem tzvakot, because of the presence of Hashem. Uchtiv also says, "Vayaor lavana keor chama." The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Var machama yesh shivat time keor shivat yamim. And the light of the sun will be seven times the brightness it was during the seven days of creation. So, in one place, it sounds like the light of the sun and the moon will be nothing because of the light of Hashem that's there. On the other hand, it sounds like the light of the sun and the moon are going to be tremendous in the future. So, which is it? So, kash kan limot Mashiach kan leolam haba. One of them is in the Mid Mashiach, and Khan the Olam Haba. So, which is which? Right? Which is the Mot Mashiach, and which is the Olam Haba? So now, Mot Mashiach, when the Shibud is ending, then Or Lavanak, Or Achama. Because why? That's when we're still living as, according to Rambam, this is one of the proofs of the Rambam's position, that Mot Mashiach and Olam Haba are separate, and Tchiyat HaMetim, it goes along with the Mot HaMashiach, and then Olam Haba is different. Because in Olam Haba, that's all the Nishamot that are around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah is going to be there. When the Shekhinah is there, then it's, right, Chafra Levana Bosha Chama. But in Mot HaMashiach, yes, that's when everything will be good, but it doesn't, the presence of Hashem will not be, you know, like Nishamot, everything apparent. So there, the Or HaChama and Or HaLevana will increase and be much greater because of the time period of the Mashiach. And this is Shmuel's famous position that between today, right now, and the time of Shmiach, El Shibud Galiot Bilvad. The only difference between today and then is going to be the Shibud of the Galut. We'll be free people. We'll be free people to be Osek B'Torah and B'Mitzvot. We'll have no. Shibud Galiot does not necessarily only mean dominion of others, but also means that we will not be subjugated to our panoso and to other things that we have to do. I mean, things will be taken care of us so we can be Osek B'Torah, B'Mitzvot, and getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it says, according to Shmuel, where there's no difference, then Mot Mashiach can't be that case. Depends where you're hanging out. If you're hanging out with the place where the tzaddikim are, then that will be very bright. Then things will be, the Or HaChama and Or HaLevana will be bright. But when you move into the Machaneh Shekhinah, then there's nothing comparing. When you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, that brightness is so great that the Chama and Levana are considered like next to none, or they're nothing in face of the Shekhinah. So Rabba Gakami Ktiv, it says, Ani Amit Ve'achaye, it says, I will kill, or I will cause death and bring to life. Uchdeh machatzti b'ani arpa. I will strike down, and then I will cure. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma shani memit, ani mechaye. Vadar, ma shemachatzti, ani arpa. So if Hashem already puts the, you know, causes death and brings to life, why is he talking about striking down and getting better? It sounds like he gets sick and he gets better. So the answer is similar to the answer that we gave before in Reish Lakish's answer, which is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoever died, I will bring back to life. Now, once they're back to life, those that are struck down, those that are have ailments or have something wrong, I will cure. Right? You would think that one dies and another is born, like the Derech HaOlam. Some a person passes away and then someone's born. Right? The Gemara Nida talks about that. The idea that Shem always keeps the balance. As soon as one neshama is lost, a new neshama is born. So I would think that's what it means. So kederach sha'olam noheg, like the world works. Tamalomar mechatzti v'ani arpa. Ma mechitza v'eru p'fu'a be'achad. We're talking about striking down in sickness and cure. That's talking about one individual. You don't have one person that's sick and the other one that's cured. Af mita v'chayim be'achad. So too, since they found the same posuk, I'd say too, the death and they'll bring it to life is on the same person. Mikan tshuva d'omri mein tchiyat amitim min haTorah. Here's the source for the fact that there is tchiyat amitim min haTorah. Tanya amri mei minan tchiyat amitim min haTorah. Shneimar az yashir Moshe uvenei Yisrael tashira zot Hashem. It says az yashir with a future tense. Az, right? Then yashir, they began to sing. So over there, that's really in a grammatically, they're saying az at that point adim yashir bnei Yisrael, they began to sing. But over here, the Gemara is saying, no, yashir means in the future tense. Az yashir, then, only then will they sing. Sharlo ne'amar doesn't say they sang. Ela yashir, they will sing. Mikan chiyat ha'metim in haTorah, that they will in the future sing. Yodav Adar Amer, az Yoshua mizbeach l'Hashem. There, when Yoshua goes into Eretz Yisrael, he builds a mizbeach that is described in Parsha, beginning of Parsha Re'eh, in Parsha Kitavo, that he has to build a mizbeach in the Gilgal. So he builds, az yivne Yoshua mizbeach l'Hashem. Banalo ne'amar, doesn't say he built it. Ela yivne, he will build it in the future. Mikan l'tchiyat ha'metim min haTorah. Tell me, Ata, you think you guys said thing? Az yivne Shlomo bama l'chmosh shikutz Moav. It says, then Shlomo will build a bama to Kmosh, right, the Shikutz, the god of Moab. So, what? Then you say Yivneh again, right? Hachanami di Yivneh, then in the future he's going to build it again? That doesn't make any sense. That's a negative thing. Okay, we're talking about positive items. You can say, okay, they'll do it in the future. But why would we want Shlomo Melch to build a bama to the god of Moab again? Doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, Ela male ala kutuv ki ila bana. No, as Yivneh means as if he built it. He didn't really build it, but as if he built it. Why? Because he took foreign wives, and the foreign wives went off to Derech, and they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. The fact that Shlomo did not stop them from worshipping their old gods already was then, he was given the responsibility, or he became culpable for their actions, because he's the one who could have stopped them. And we have that principle many times in the Shas, that someone has the ability to stop their fellow friend or their family from doing something wrong, and they don't do it, they are mitchayev b'nafsho, they become culpable for those actions. How do we know it? Right, so Ashrei, those that sit in your house, they will praise you. It says they praised you. They will praise you. Anybody says Shira, a song in this world, will say to the Olam Haba. Shneimar, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha. Right? Oh, those that sit in your Beitecha, in your house, whether it's a Beit Knesset or the Beit Mikdash, oh, Jalaluch HaSela, they will again in the future give praise to you. I mean that, oh, even more, or an additional praise to you. So when they praise you now, they will also get a chance to do an additional praise in the Olam Haba.
What's the Shira that's been referred to?
It could be the Shira, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't describe, but the Shira could be the Ashrei itself. Like they praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashrei is all about giving praise, Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's the key, you know, it's the key part of Psukah Zimra, which is focused on Tehillim that deal with Shevach LaHashem. That's what the bracha that we say before, Melech Mulah B'tish Bachot, right? We say the bracha that we make in both Be'ach Shemar and Yishtabach is about Shevach that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Ashrei, which is the center of that Psukah Zimra, is talking about Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Generally, Shira is generally known right to be, but here the Gemara is calling this also as a Shira. It's clear from the context the Gemara is calling Ashrei a Shira. Whether that conforms to the normal definition of what a Shira is, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know. Here, Baba Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Tchiyat HaMetim in haTorah, Shneimar, says, Kol Tzofayich Nasu Kol Yachtav Yiraneinu. So this is, again, one of the Shivat in the Chemta. I think it's the Aftor for Pashat Shoftim. It says, Kol Tzofayich, the voice of your lookouts, Nasu Kol, they will raise their voices, Yachtav Yiraneinu, together they will sing praise. Rininu lo ne'amar, doesn't say they praised, Ela Yiraneinu, they will give praise. Mikan Tzchiyat HaMetim in haTorah. Again, so it's written in the future tense. The future, all the Nevi'im will sing Shira together in one voice. Those that look out. Tzofayach, Tzofeh, is another one of the names for a Navi. Meaning that a Ro'eh, Tzofeh, are names that are given, are descriptors of a Navi. So the Kol Tzofayach, Nasu Kol, they all raise up their voice. Yachtav Yiraneinu, together they will sing Shira. So that'll be in the future. Anybody who withholds halacha from one of his students, it's as if he stole from him his inheritance. Shneimar Torah Tzivlanu Moshe Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Morasha comes from the word Yerusha. So we're entitled. It's an inheritance that he's entitled to. And if you withhold Allah or the Torah that you know from him, you're stealing from him. Morasha hi l'chol Yisrael m'sheshet yemei Bereishit. It's an inheritance to all of Bnei Israel from the sheshet yemei Bereishit, from the days of creation. So Amar Rav Achana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chazida Kol Manei Halacha M'pi Talmid Afilu Obrim Shebnei Imo Mekalelin Oto. Even the fetuses inside of their mother's wombs, they will curse him. Shenemar Monea Bar, the one who holds back, you know, produce or grain. Yik Vuhu, right, the Om. He will be cursed by the nation. The Om is the nation. So now the Gemara says, "Ein the Om Elo Ubarim." Om really means a fetus. Shenemar Udo Om Mil Om Yematz. We're talking about Esav and Yaakov inside of the twins inside of Rivka's stomach when she goes to seek counsel with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It says there, "Shnei Goyim Bivinech Shnei Lumim Mi Ayin Chiyu Beperedu Lo Om Mil Om Yematz." Right, they will always try to, the Om Yatsi, they'll try to be ascendant over each other. Now, the Om there really means the nations. The nations will, right, be ascendant over each other. They will always fight. When one is high, the other one will be down. But here it's saying that Om is even referring to Esav and Yaakov themselves, who are fetuses at that time. It's interesting to note here that Rashi brings down on Chumash, on Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, Rashi brings down two Midrashim. The first one is that they were even fighting from the time that they were in the Beten. That's what the Gemara describes over here. And Rashi also brings the Drasha of Shnei Geim Bevitnech. Shnei Geim means two great ones will be inside of you. And that, the Midrash says, refers to Rebbe and Antoninus. One who was from Edom, from Esav, and one was from Yaakov, and that they were friends and they were able to talk, which was the topic of our Gemara today.
So the Ein Kabo Ela Klala, and the Kava is a word of Klala, Shneimar Ma'akov Lo Kabo Kel. That's what Bilam says, right? What I cursed, Hashem did not want to curse. Vein Bar Ela Torah. And Torah is referred to as Bar Shneimar, says in Tehillim, Nashkuvar, right? Really, the literal meaning is worship and purity, Penye Enaf. Right, lest Hashem be angry. But the Gemara is saying, Nashkubar, gather together the Torah, so Hashem's not angry. Follow the Torah, gather together the Torah, in order that Hashem not be angry. Ula bar Yishmael omer, minakvino toki kvara. They puncture him like a sieve. Tivacha yikavu ala om, uftivatam vayikov chor bedelto. So after Torah for Parshat Shkalim, over there they made a hole, and it stuck a box so they could put the money into the box. That, like an uchla de katsre, which is the description of the tool used by the kovsim, by the launderers, that their laundering machinery has holes in it so that they put the water onto the bigadim through that. So he'll make them into that, the description of how they're going to make him if he doesn't teach him the halacha. But the basic idea is that a person who has Torah to give over and has the ability to pass Torah to others should not be withholding the Torah from those people, because they are entitled to the Torah. It's not your Torah. Torah belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore you have an obligation to pass that Torah to Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.